And I am just in great expectation of a continual moving of the Spirit of God and souls. Souls turning back to God and some souls finding God for the first time. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible talks about in different portions of Scripture, it's not my notes here this morning, but to the fact that God was not far from them. You see, in my life, God was not far from me. I just hadn't found him yet. I knew about him. I believed he was real. I believed he was the Savior of the world. But I had not yet found him on that personal plane of becoming my Savior, him removing my blindness, and him creating a new creature inside of me. And then it amazed me as I began to grow in Christianity how many people that I had encountered that were actually in the same position I was, but were still there. They hadn't come to that eye-opening experience with Jesus Christ to where they saw their desperate need for the cleansing of the blood. Not just a casual, I need a Savior, but the desperate need for the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because see, that must happen, because that's that born-again experience. That's that conversion experience. That experience is real, cannot be denied. And if it has not yet been had, then that's what you're in pursuit of. Hallelujah. And it's, the thing is, it's a good thing to follow after God. But it's a greater thing when you find him. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. So that's just extra this morning. First John chapter number 4 and verse number 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. You may be seated again this morning. Amen. In our ACE curriculum, in our Christian school, we have paces. And in each pace, you are taught different aspects of English, science, social studies, math, word building or spelling, whatever you want to call it. And when you get to the end of that pace, you've had a series of questions to answer. You've had what is called checkups. Checkups come about every 10 pages, depending on how long the pace is. And those checkups are to help you remember what you've just learned, what you've just studied, to see if you remember them. Amen. And those checkups help you learn more and retain it in your mind. And then you come to what is called a self-test. And what I want to preach about this morning, I just want to entitle this message, "The Self-Test." The Self-Test. The statement is made in these scriptures, "Hereby we know." The self-test. See, God's word is continually there and available to us. And it's actually written for self-tests. Hallelujah. Not for me to criticize, nor condemn, or scrutinize, or look at somebody else's life and say, "Oh, the Word of God says you're not supposed to do that." But it's for self-examination, the self-test. Hallelujah. To know whether or not I have the right mind frame and the right thought pattern, and if I'm really thinking like Christ would think. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this word here, and this is something that I want to deal with here this morning. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, this word spirit in the Greek, it's pneuma. But the thing is this Greek word is used to explain multitude of different things. But it's the same exact word. It can mean a current of air, a breath, or a blast, or a breeze. Figuratively, a spirit. It can mean the human spirit or the human rational soul. Or by implication, in other words, how it's used in the sentence, it can mean a vital principle or a mental disposition, etc. And the word etc. means anything like that. See, I mean, this one word is used to explain a host of different things. And of course, it can be a superhuman as an angel, a demon, or in the divine sense, God, Christ Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It can mean ghost, life, spiritual mind, or spiritually minded. Just that one Greek word. Wow. So as we begin to read this, I want us to begin to look into this and begin to understand that it's not necessarily talking about a demonic spirit. But, and I'm going to get into this as I go, but just to kind of get our minds rolling that way. I mean, in school, when I was young, when I was a teenager, you know, many, 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 many moons ago, we had what we call spirit rallies. And what it was to help generate a spirit or mind frame of victory, of desire to do, desire to win. In other words, the whole rally was to get everybody, and don't fall out with me here, pumped up to do their best. It was a spirit rally. And so the spirit, you'll find this, and even as I go through this message, you're going to find in the scriptures that we read, you find the terminology spirit of truth, spirit of error. Okay, so we're seeing here then, which definition is this going to mean to me then? It could be the spirit of truth. We know that is a title given to the Holy Ghost. But also you can have a spirit of truth. A spirit of truth is a desire for truth. Or you can have a desire for error. You see, the capabilities of the human mind and the human facility are vast. And see, this is why, and as we read this here, he's talking about believe not every spirit. So which definition is that? Is that a demonic spirit? Is that a rationale of the human mind? I believe it's a rationale of the human mind, which ultimately is influenced by demonic spirits. Yes. But you see, you have the capability of having the spirit of error or the spirit of truth as an individual. Do you want truth or would you rather believe a lie? I have found most people would rather believe a lie than accept the truth. The spirit of truth, the spirit of error, the desire. See, that's that. What spirit are you of? Was it not James and John that were very upset, had some righteous indignation about a village that rejected Jesus Christ? And they boldly, righteously stood up and said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down upon them? Well, did you see what they did to you, Lord? Did you see how they rejected you? Lord, they just need to be snuffed out. They thought they had some righteous indignation going on there. They thought they were justified in that thought pattern and in that desire because of how they treated Jesus. But Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. Wow. You've allowed yourself and your self-will and your self-emotions to lead you astray. See, this is why it's important to really be influenced by the Holy Ghost. To walk in the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, because If we don't have the infilling of the Spirit of God and the continual flow of the Spirit of God, then we can be easily moved into the spirit of error. Why? Well, number one, we're rejecting the Spirit of truth, the title. By not being filled with the Spirit of God, we're rejecting the Spirit of truth. There's your first step into the spirit of error. That's how simple and easy it is to go into the spirit of error. Now, I don't know whether you've read this or not. I have read this, had different accounts, you know, seen different accounts of it. Anybody in here know who Charles Darwin is? Charles Darwin is the inventor of the theory, and it's just a theory, of evolution. Now, does anybody in here know why Charles Darwin created and pursued the theory of evolution? The bottom line is he was mad at God, because God didn't answer a prayer the way he wanted it answered. And circumstances happened, and he began to blame God. And so he set out for a lifelong effort to totally discredit God. This is all proven facts. This is all history written down. This was also based on the confession of Charles Darwin on his deathbed. And yet here we have the theory of evolution posted in every textbook of the public education system as fact. And it's the only way. Yet its whole origin was in the spirit of error, because he rejected the spirit of truth. You see, I said all that to let you know just how far you can go away from God if you allow your mind frame to become the wrong mind frame. The wrong mind thought. Hallelujah. And so now, back to our text here. He is talking about the spirit of the Jews. He is talking about the spirit of how they, with animosity, reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God come in the flesh. How many realize what Saul, the Sunday school lesson you had in the primary class this morning, and the reality that Saul of Tarsus, yet breathing out threatening, this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit that John's talking about here. How that the Jews detested, they hated the name Jesus Christ. They did not believe in Jesus Christ, and they went about killing everyone that did. This is the spirit he's talking about right here in this portion of Scripture. It is talking about that animosity and that hate for Jesus Christ come in the flesh. They didn't mind, and many don't today, saying he was a good prophet. But they did not want to say he was God come in the flesh. They did not want to say Emmanuel, God with us. They rejected that, and that's where the spirit of Antichrist began. And once again, the spirit of Antichrist, you saw what it done in the Scriptures. It brought murder upon all those that believed in Jesus Christ. See, that's what's going to happen again in that 7 years of tribulation, is that Christians are going to be murdered when they believe in Jesus Christ, because that at that point in time, the spirit of the Antichrist is going to be so dominant in the mind frames of the men and women. Now, look at where we're at today. What happens to men and women that will not retain the knowledge of God in their minds? They become reprobate. That means they don't want to see the light. They don't want to believe the light. And they plummet themselves the farthest they can into darkness. When you move to the realm of homosexuality, you're plummeting to the depths of the realm of darkness. That is the total rejection of the creation that God created. He created man and woman, male and female. And when men and women plummet to the depths of that mind frame, It's because they have been totally influenced and impressed by the spirit of error and the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, you've got to be careful because it's everywhere. And if you're more influenced by that spirit than you are the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, you will go into error. There is no way you cannot. But what I have to do is I have to realize that that is the spirit of error. Now, I've said all this, and I want to establish the reality of why I don't think this is just a demonic spirit. Because in Luke chapter 4, verses 40 and 41, we find Jesus is healing the sick. I mean, he's healing all diseases. He's casting out devils. And when he's casting them out, in verse 41, it says, "And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." The devils know who Jesus was. The devils know who Jesus is. So he's not necessarily talking about a demonic spirit here, because they've already confessed that he's the Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus was silencing them. Wow. So he's talking about those men and those individuals who reject the truth. They begin to have the spirit of error. Notice in verse number 4, he says, "You've overcome them." Brings it down to a personal plane, a human plane here. To the fact that it's individuals who have allowed their minds to believe the lie instead of embrace the truth. And this is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, this is our self-test. Where am I at? What kind of spirit am I of? Do I desire truth? Or am I looking for a way to justify my deeds, my actions, or even my thoughts? See, we got to be careful, because the Spirit of God, as a child of God, is going to automatically take us to truth. Hallelujah. That's why you must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You've got to be born again. You've got to get that Spirit of Christ birthed in you. That new desire, that new creature, hallelujah, to where you can now reach for truth and reach for light. And wow, because the Spirit of God is always going to be right there, taking us to light, taking us to truth. But if we choose, we're back to that creature of choice. If we choose to go our own way, then we have chosen the spirit of error. See, this is a self-test this morning. What am I choosing? What is my desire? What is my ambition of life? Hallelujah. The Bible tells me Solomon, the whole duty of man. What is it? To fear God and to keep his commandments. Wow. Pretty simple, isn't it? But in reality, the whole time I'm on the face of this earth, I do have the spirit of truth pulling on my heart, and I have the spirit of error working on my heart. Now, the spirit of error does not have to come from without. It can totally come from within. You see, because when I'm born into this world, I'm born with the spirit of error. It's called the sin nature. That's what I'm born with. I'm born with the spirit of error. But when Jesus Christ comes in, he brings in the spirit of truth. Woo, born again by the spirit of God. Hallelujah. New creature created in Christ that I can become transformed into the image of Christ. But from that point forward, I must walk in the spirit of truth. See, this is a self-test this morning. Where am I walking? What am I doing? Hallelujah. You see, in Matthew 24:4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, a lot of times, and even my first thought on this scripture back when I first got saved, is I thought he was talking about false Christs, men claiming to be the Christ. But upon further examination, you find that what Jesus is saying is, for many shall come in my name. They'll say they're believers. They'll even say that he is the Christ, the Son of God. But they will deceive many. We've seen this happen abundantly in these last days. Everywhere you turn around. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. Well, what kind of Christian are you? Well, I'll ask you again. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian that is after the spirit of truth? Or are you a Christian that kind of likes the spirit of error from time to time? What kind of Christian are you? Hallelujah. Is there such a thing as a carnal Christian? Whoa. Now, wait a minute. Now we're playing on words. The age-old question. Is there such a thing as a carnal Christian? What is the answer to that? I mean, because we know the Bible talks to us, Paul talks to us about the carnal mind and how that we're not to be after the carnal mind. So we're still dealing here with the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Whether you call it the carnal mind or a spiritual mind, it's the same thing. It's the same reality. Hallelujah. And so is there such a thing as a carnal Christian? Probably not. Because a Christian is going to realize carnality is not Christ-like. And so to say I'm a carnal Christian is what I'm not saying it right. I need to say I'm a Christian that's become carnal. Maybe it means the same thing. But then once again, if I've become carnal, am I Christ-like, which Christian means. Follower of Christ, which Christian means. So if I'm following the carnal mind, am I following Jesus Christ? See, these are just questions. These are questions that really have answers, and the answers are actually right here in the Word of God. It's the difference between spirit of truth and spirit of error. We must daily take the self-test. Hallelujah. There's checkups all along the way. I mean, in the house of God, there's checkups all along the way. Hallelujah. The preaching of the word, the singing of the songs of Zion. I mean, if you allow the Spirit to speak to you as he desires to speak to you, he will speak to you from the moment you step in that door. Through the whole service, he'll speak to you in song. He'll speak to you in testimony. He'll speak to you in Sunday school. He'll speak to you in preaching. He'll speak to you in the altars. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, aha, it's back to me. Am I listening? Do I have the spirit of truth? Do I have a desire to hear from God? Or would I rather just go through life not really hearing what God's got to say, but want God with me? I don't want to be away from God. Because I know if God's not with me, I'll head straight for hell. Nobody wants to go to hell, I don't think. Yet at the same time, it's not a matter of heaven or hell. It's a matter of spirit of truth or spirit of error. For the spirit of truth will always take you to heaven. But the spirit of error will always take you to hell. Hallelujah. Makes no difference if you have the tie on, suit coat, good shoes. Woo. See, it's not a matter of playing church. It's not a matter of being in church, though you need to be in church. Don't misunderstand me. It's a matter of what do I desire? What do I desire? What do I want God to do in my life? If I want him to do as little as possible and still go to heaven, that's a spirit of error. But if I want him to have full control of my life, that's the spirit of truth. That's the only way Christianity works in its fullness. In its fail-proof state of salvation, I must maintain the spirit of truth, the desire for truth, the desire to change into what Christ wants me to be. The desire to call what I'm doing wrong if it's wrong. And the desire to change it into what's supposed to be right. Hallelujah. This is the difference. Who's going to heaven? Which Christian group is going to heaven? There's an easy answer. It's not necessarily a Christian group that's going to heaven. It's the church that's going to heaven. And the church is made up of believers who have the spirit of truth. I'm not talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost at this moment. I'm talking about that regeneration and maintaining a desire to walk in truth and to learn truth no matter how old I am. Mm-hmm. I had a sister in the first church that I pastored, Good Hope Church. She had boldly proclaimed to me a certain area of her life that she felt like it was okay to do what she was doing in that area. And I'm not going to mention this morning, just for the sake. And she said, the Lord said it was okay for me to do this. And of course, I had just been preaching and teaching on the fact that it probably wasn't. So I didn't press the issue. I said, that's fine. If the Lord spoke to you and you feel like that's fine for you to do, you just go for it. But then the more she prayed and the more she began to seek God and the more the presence of God began to move in the church services, she came to me about a month later, just weeping and telling me, Brother Pepper, you were right. This is God's way. This is God's word. And I will never do that again. I don't remember how old she was. She was like 80 some years old. But she was hungry for the spirit of truth, fresh and anew in her life. You see, because if you get cold in your spirit, a lot of times you just let things slide. I guess maybe that's why they call it backsliding, because it just seems like it just goes there automatically. I guess that's why we call Christianity an uphill climb. If you're not climbing and it's uphill, what happens? You automatically start sliding down. Wow. Because when I'm thinking uphill, I'm not thinking of just a gradual grade. I'm thinking uphill. You know, I'm thinking of the cliff climbers. Whoa. Oh, my. You ever been walking on one of those paths in the mountains, you know, that's kind of got loose dirt and loose sand on it? And as long as you're getting your footing and you're paying attention to what you're doing, then the minute you stop, you look around, all of a sudden you're not really paying attention to what you're doing. All of a sudden your feet start sliding down. Oh, that's a scary feeling. Whoa. And you automatically regroup, regain, and start getting your footing again because you know you got to go up. Because it's not fun to slide down a mountain. You'd rather walk down one. And so we know this is the self-test this morning. I mean, spirit of truth, spirit of error. 1 John 4 and 13, a little bit later in the chapter. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. Wow. Born again by the Spirit of God. Greater intensity by the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The age-old question once again, and I've heard it, I don't know how many times I've heard it, but the answer's always the same. Do I have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Number one, why are you asking if you have to do anything? You don't have to do anything. Yet there are consequences if you don't do certain things, huh? That's just the way the kingdom of God works. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be washed in the blood. You don't have to be saved. But if you want to be saved, what do? You repent of your sins and you confess your sins and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all your sins. I mean, you don't have to do that, but if you want to be saved, then, well, no, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but if you want to do what's pleasing to your Savior, you'll begin to find out what you need to do to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Really, the only thing you need to do to be filled with the Holy Ghost, according to the Word of God, is be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and be willing. That's all you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You ain't got 101 things you got to do before you can be filled. You don't have to wait 10 days like the disciples did to be filled. I had one sister in church we attended when she got saved and she heard the preacher preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He made reference to the fact that it was 10 days until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So she thought in her mind she had to wait 10 days. And so she was just happy she could be for 10 days. And the 10th day happened to fall on a Sunday. And she went to church that morning. And she was going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And she did. Because in her mind on that 10th day, she was going to be filled with the Spirit. And she was. She didn't realize she didn't have to wait those 10 days. She could have got filled the same time she got saved. Hallelujah. Because you got to be washed in the blood. And just be a willing vessel. That's all you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God's going to fill you. It's His gift. It's His desire. It's His power from above. Because we must be born again. This is how we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Now, what's the Spirit of Christ? What would God's Spirit be like? Well, let me share something with you. Now, we know God is love, correct? Is that not what the Scripture tells us? God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity, which is love, suffereth long. That's Jesus, isn't it? Charity is kind. That's Jesus, isn't it? Charity envieth not. Well, that's Jesus, isn't it? Charity vaunteth not itself. Well, that's Jesus, isn't it? That's the Spirit of Jesus. That's how He acted, wasn't it? Wow, isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Charity is not puffed up. That's called pride. That's Jesus, isn't it? The Spirit of Christ. That's what Jesus would act like. When the Bible makes reference to the Spirit of Christ, it's not necessarily talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the character, the demeanor, the attitude of Jesus Christ. And this is revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the attitude of Christ. This is the character of Christ. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. There, your spirit of truth, spirit of error. I mean, what is your desire? Are you wanting the truths of God? Beareth all things. That means it doesn't have to go my way. Believeth all things. In other words, God's word is the final authority. Hopeth all things. I know God's going to take me through. He's going to show me the way. Endureth all things. That means whatever's coming my way, I can make it through. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, is that total reliability upon God for direction in my life. No matter what I'm going through, no matter who's pressing me, who's mistreating me. Have you ever read in the Scripture, pray for those that despitefully use you? You ever found that as a Christian, a lot of times people will take advantage of that and use you? Because they know you're not going to respond in an evil way. Whoa, does that grind you the wrong direction when you realize somebody's using you? Whoa, just pray for them. Wow, that's the Spirit of Christ. See, this is how I know that I'm dwelling in Him. Because I'm going to start acting and responding the same way Jesus Christ did. Now, has anybody in here been crucified? Not by words. Now, if we use that terminology, I can raise my... Yeah, I've been crucified by words. I've had choice words said about me. Whoa. Thankful they weren't true. What do you do about people like that? Well, your first response is, man, you want to really get a hold of them. Until the Spirit of truth grips your heart. That Holy Ghost speaks to your soul. What do? You pray for them. Because you realize they don't understand what they're doing. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing it. Whoa. And so we see that this is the Spirit of Christ. This is how we know that we are in Him. This is how we know we're in a right relationship with our God. Not that our first response is right, but our submission to the Spirit of God and the Word of God becomes the dominating factor. I haven't found too many folks. There are some. There are some that they respond right the first time. I'm probably not one of those. Oh, most of the time it catches you off guard. It catches you by surprise, and automatically you want to go the way of the world. See, this is the difference between the world and Christianity. Because the way of the world is always revenge, retribution, getting back, thinking of the greatest thing to say that will gouge them. Whoa, hello. Wow, that's the way of the world. That's the way I was. But the Spirit of Christ is you forgive, you forget, you pray. You show kindness. You show long suffering. How many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? Peter, great Peter, 7 times, Lord. That's your perfect number, 7. Good try, Peter. 7 times 70. And he just stopped at 70 just so it wouldn't blow Peter's mind completely. Because he could have said 70 times, or 7 times 700, or 7 times 7,000. Because how many times has Jesus Christ forgiven you for the same thing? Woo! Hello! See, this is what we got to bear down on. The reality, this is our self-test. This is not trying to be condemning towards anyone or criticize anyone. All this is showing me where I need to pull up slack, where I need to seek my God, where I need to be more in His presence, where I need to be more in His Word, so that this can be what's flowing out of my life. Hallelujah. And it's the same thing for you. Hallelujah. That's why we share God's Word. And so we see then the Spirit of Christ is the same as 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In Galatians 5 and 22, what do we find? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, all these things, there's not a thou shalt not with them. This is just how Jesus is. This is just how the Holy Ghost is. And this is how I will be when I fall and place myself under His control and His command and learn of Him. See, it's a learning process, church. This is why sometimes we don't do it right the first time. Because it's a learning process. Brother Jason was sharing about sheetrock this morning. The reality, and I didn't realize he'd never hung sheetrock, because I've hung sheetrock. I hung sheetrock in my house. I'm just not a mud and taper. That's not me. I just ain't got that. And didn't want to take the time to perfect it. I just didn't even want to do it. I tried, and I had somebody else come in and fix my mess ups. Amen. But I just figured because of all the things that I'd done that he had hung sheetrock. But then I realized, no, at that time when I did that, you know, when you get older, you think it was just a little while ago. He was not big enough to hang sheetrock. And so I did it all by myself. And so I did the sheetrock hanging and things like that. So, but yet he jumped right in there. Did he know how to do it the first time? Did he do it fast the first time? Did he do it real good the first time? And his answer to you was no. Wow. Yep. I even helped him drill that hole in the wrong spot. I did. I'm the one that read the tape measure. I'm the one that said, all right, it should be right there. Let's go for it. Because I'd never used one of them little thingamajiggers either. I always just had to measure it out, cut it first, and I hoping and praying and checking it 3 or 4 times to make sure I had it in the right spot. And now you understand it took me a long time to hang sheetrock. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Didn't just throw it up there and go on. It is just like, okay, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? Is this right? I measure it, measure it, measure it, measure it. Oh, missed it by 1/4 inch. Ah. Woo. Hello. Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Amen. Spirit of truth, spirit of error. See, it's either Jesus, which is spirit of truth, or it's me, spirit of error. See, it's not a matter of what I think is right. It's a matter of have I found out what Jesus thinks is right. And when I find what Jesus thinks is right, then I begin to think right. It does work that way. But if I'm trying to think right away from Jesus Christ and away from the Spirit of God and away from the Word of God, then, but you got to realize that if Christ is not there leading and the Holy Ghost is not there leading, then I can try to base my thought on the Word of God, but I'm probably going to find the spirit of error. Why? Well, because I left the Spirit of truth behind when I wasn't consulting Jesus Christ personally and filled with the Spirit of God so he could lead my life. You see, this is a strange phenomenon in Christianity, because almost all Christians, to my knowledge, acknowledge the Holy Ghost as the third person of the Trinity, except UPC. The third person. But it astounds me how many of them want to try to define and be led by the Spirit of God when they don't really submit nor surrender to him. Humility is a great factor. And men have humbled themselves before God. And the Spirit of God has worked from an external presence in their lives. I mean, that's how you got saved. The Spirit of God worked as an external presence. And men have lived their lives in the fear of God and in Christianity and in surrender to Christ with the Spirit of God in an external presence. And that's how they gained the ground that they did. I've got to hurry here. Man, I could preach for another hour, church. I've got to get moving here. But anyway, that's where all the church denominations came from. It was God bringing the church back to its full place of the power of Pentecost in their lives. That's where you got the Methodists. That's where you got, of course, the Calvinists. They just kind of missed the boat. But anyway, that's why you got those different denominations. That's why you got the Baptists. You realize the Baptists come along because everybody was just sprinkling people with water on their head? That's how they got the name Baptist. Because they began to go, well, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says baptize. Baptize. He was baptizing them in the river. Was he picking up the river and pouring it on his head? Very doubtful. Baptize means submersion. Pretty simple, but why weren't people doing it? Well, because somebody thought it'd be okay. It's kind of like the one story I read, and they were arguing about it and said, okay. The one that believed in sprinkling said, all right. Answer my questions. He said, all right, okay. He said, all right, now if you go out in the river and you stick somebody in the water to their waist, are they baptized? No. Okay, if you go out there and put them into their shoulders, are they baptized? No. So you go out there and put them into the water except for the top of their head. Are they baptized? He said, no. See, all it makes the difference is the top of their head. Woo! That was their argument. Wow. That was a real story. Baptize. Okay, that's where the Baptists come from. Then you got your free will Baptists, and then you got your Baptists that believe the unconditional eternal security. See, you got different flavors in there too. I mean, what is all that? That was God bringing the church back to the place where she's supposed to be, called Pentecost. See, a lot of people don't even believe in Pentecost anymore that were raised in Pentecost, because they've seen so much garbage in the Pentecostal realms. Well, I got news for you. Open up your Bible and start reading the epistles, and you'll find the source of the garbage. It's called the spirit of error. But just as sure as there's spirit of error, there is spirit of truth. And so you got to realize everything that is in error piggybacked on truth, took truth and took it a wrong direction. But now everybody wants to throw out the truth with the error. You can't do that. No, you're back to what do you desire. So that was the one thing in my heart and in my life when Jesus Christ saved me. That's what he put inside of me, a desire for truth. I've been raised where I wasn't given truth. And so when I met Jesus Christ and I came out of the Lutheran church, my desire was to know what is the way of my God and his church. And I began to put myself into the Word of God, study the Word of God, read the Word of God, be in the house of God, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in a pursuit of truth. Hallelujah. Still pursuing it today. You see, because it's a self-test. I'm realizing I've got some corrections I need to make. You see, that's one thing about the self-test. That's a glorious thing about the self-test. It shows you what you know. It shows you who you are. And you have opportunity to go back and correct that self-test so that you can then take the full-fledged peace test. You see, a lot of the self-test is what prepares me for the real tests that are going to come to my faith and my walk with God. Because they're going to come. But if I'm failing the self-test all the time, I'm not going to pass the main test either. You see, that's where I find the strength and the power and the anointing to pass the fiery trials. Because I've been correcting my self-test. And I've been studying to show myself. That was shared in Sunday school, wasn't it? Studying to show myself approved. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So who am I to pattern myself after? The church down the road? The other believers in the church? Or Jesus Christ? He's the pattern. He's the example. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the one. And he is the word. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise our God. See, he hasn't left one stone unturned. He's got it all covered. That's our God. That's why he's so great. He's got it all covered. He's got me covered. He knows me better than I know myself. And thus, he continually to bring those things to me to show me who I really am, whether I'm walking in the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Proverbs 14:12, and I'm going to run down through some Proverbs scriptures here, and then I'm going to close this morning. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Realizing and understanding that no good thing dwelleth in us. It's all in Christ. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom with than gold, and getting understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Wow. Understanding and wisdom, knowing the ways of God, desiring truth. The highway of the upright, and these are all Proverbs chapter 16. These are all verses out of Proverbs chapter 16, it goes from 16 all the way to 22. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the spirit of error. This is the main symptoms of the spirit of error is pride and a haughty spirit. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Now that's a strange statement, isn't it? The sweetness of the lips. This is something that I have to work on. The sweetness of the lips. Anybody in here ever been blunt? It doesn't go over so well sometimes. Just to be blunt. Just to say it like it is in a condescending way. Doesn't help people. This is what this scripture is talking about. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. In other words, having, and there's a character trait in our schools called tactful. Knowing how to say something in the right demeanor and the right way, so it will become learning instead of automatic rebellion. I don't know about you, but a lot of times if people just press me automatically, I just throw up, speak to the hand. I mean, don't press me. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. Don't press me, though. Not everybody's that way. Some people say, just lay it on me, beat me with a hammer. Some people are that. I'm not that way. Don't beat me with a hammer. I'll take it away from you and beat you back. No. self-test. Whoa. I'm just telling you, that's just how it is most of the time. You know, your first instinct is that survival, you know, flight or what is it? Fight or flight. Yeah, mine was always fight. You know, I ain't going to run. You better run. Yeah, hello. Now, that's past, though. See, we're working on it. We've went through a lot of self-tests. Hallelujah. Praise God, and hopefully we're passing in the main test. But anyway, that sweetness of the lips, in other words, saying it the right way, bringing, you know, thinking before you speak. You know, sometimes it's better just to be silent, not say a thing, because sometimes silence pours the coals hotter on top of the head. Wow. It's amazing what God can do when we'll pray. I got to shut her down here, church, but used to, Brother Timmy and I just had to learn. I had to learn from the School of Hard Knocks. Used to, I would take control of the situation, dominate the situation, and make it happen. It didn't work. It just didn't work. They always got mad. They just always got mad, blew up, and that was the end of that. And here, you know, wasn't they supposed to hear the counsel of the pastor? Well, that wasn't counsel. That was just jerking them up, throwing them down, said, do it. That's not how, sorry, you know. Before you can get any better at something, you had to be the novice. So I had my novice times. I had my times of learning. There wasn't the sweetness of lips. I could tell you some stories. Woo, wow. But I have learned. Sometimes I fall prey again, fall back again. But I've learned that people are going to do what they're going to do. So it doesn't do any good sometimes to just lay a hold of situations as it is to just be there in the midst of the situation, holding your peace, and letting the Lord fight the battle. I have learned since that if I see things going on, I just watch and I just wait. If the Lord speaks and prompts and unctions, then I move forward. If not, I stay back. But what I have learned is when I take it to God in prayer, it is amazing what God can do to win a battle. Sometimes I've been accused of not caring. Oh no, what it is I care too much. And I have learned, just hold my peace. Preach the word, teach the word, live the life, and pray like your life depended on it. And then God will move in mysterious ways. You see, oh church, God knows us better than we do. A lot of times we think we know what would be best for someone, but in reality, we don't. We don't. Not when they're in that shaping and molding stage of God. Not when they're in the middle of their self-test. We think, well, it ought to be done that way. Well, just let them do it. See, if they get it wrong, then they have opportunity to come back and correct it. Has anybody ever done math perfectly every time? Has anybody ever done math and never missed one little negative sign? Ah, the little foxes of math, is that negative? Oh, yeah. They got it all right except, sorry, that's supposed to be negative. Oh, I did it again. Yeah, those little foxes. And, oh, man, 2 + 2 always equals 4. Then why do you have 3 there? We're human. Even though we know better multitudes of times, we still do it wrong. We get it wrong. We thought we got it right. We're getting it wrong. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. Wow. I'm going to close with this. Sister Pepper's coming back to the piano. She's given me that look, that eye, because I've preached a long time this morning. I've enjoyed it. I trust you are too. Amen. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you just catch how you're transformed? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You are transformed when your way of thinking is changed to Christ's way of thinking. When you will see it like Jesus sees it. When you will see it like the Word of God displays it. And in your mind, you change your mind. See, so many times we're wanting and trying to wait till God changes his. So surely, God, that's not what you want. Surely, God, that's not what you're wanting me to do. Surely, God, surely, God, surely, God, surely, God, surely, God. Always arguing. What is that? Well, that's the road to the spirit of error. But embracing the spirit of truth is, God, if that's what you want, then that's what I will do. That is the spirit of truth. That is renewing my mind. And that brings transformation to the way I am. See, the transforming life starts with me changing my thought pattern to the thought pattern of God, to the way God would have me to think. Amen. Paul said that this mind would be in you. What mind? The mind of Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, but became a servant and humbled himself and became man. Took on the form of flesh and died for the sins of the world. Now I understand that I cannot die for the sins of the world. Christ has done that, and he is the only one that can and the only one that did. But because he died for the sins of the world, that has enabled me to die that sinners might know him. Whew. And that's the only way they're going to know who Jesus Christ is by what they see in me, what they see in you, what they experience from their encounter with you. Is it sweetness of lips? Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it peace? Are you always ridiculing people? Laughing at people, mocking people? Really? And tell me, show me if I'm wrong. Show me where Jesus did that. We got to be careful, church, or we'll allow the spirit of the world to dominate our mind. You see, that's the way the world operates. They like to put others down so it looks like we're on top. You don't have to do that as a child of God. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the greatest family that could ever be. Hallelujah. And you are loved for who you are. Hallelujah. And he's going to take our lives and make them the best they could ever be. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's the love he has for us. And that's why we have the opportunity of self-tests. So we can see, get insight, and then get in Christ. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Glory to our God.